is a psalm of praise for the glory of God's creation. And how it all fits together, how it all works together. As we go through this psalm, we'll kind of be tracking it with Genesis chapter 1, okay? So you're going to be in Psalm 104, and you're going to slip over there to Genesis chapter 1, and you're going to be flipping and not flip-flopping, but you'll be flipping back and forth, okay? No flip-flopping, okay? We'll save that for politicians. We don't really know who wrote the psalm, but it's some assign it to David, because it begins and ends just like Psalm 103 with the words, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." But we don't really know who the author is. It begins, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the water, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire." Cool description, huh? Is that awesome? God, clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light, covered in light. We remember the Apostle John tells us that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. He is light. He dwells in light unapproachable. We're told in Hebrews that his angels are ministers of flaming fire. This is quoted. Now, God is light, and his first act of creation was to give us light. Over there in Genesis chapter 1, are you there?
Yes.
You're quick. Okay, it's to your left, and if you get to Genesis, you're right there. Yeah. Genesis 1:3. "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." You know, it's even simpler in the Hebrew. God said, "Light be," and light was. Light be. Just light. "And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day." On the first day of creation, God, who is light, created light, gave light to the world. Now the psalmist, back in the psalm, okay, 104, he goes on to describe God's creative work. "You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever," hanging in space, but the foundation is laid. Oh, go and figure that one out. "You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth." Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Verse 6, "Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters." Initially, the earth was just, it was all covered in water. "And let it divide the waters from the waters." Then God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above. So you have water below and water above, a vapor canopy. You know that water's above today. Right? There's tons and tons and tons of water that's just hanging. Well, most of it fell down this afternoon. Yeah. Wow. That was awesome, wasn't it? Initially, there was a vapor canopy before the flood around the earth. And there was water above and there was water below. Okay? God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so, and God called the dry land earth. In the gathering together of the waters, he called seas. And God saw that it was good. On the second day, God divided the waters. On the third day, he brought forth land and separated the land from the water. Back to the psalm. Are you okay with this? Okay. It keeps you awake, gives you something to do. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them, the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The Lord waters the earth. Go out and water. He does it with the hydrological cycle. That is so awesome. He makes the water go up to the highest points so it will come down. And what does it do as it comes down? It waters. It waters the earth. It comes down in springs and streams. And as the water flows, it quenches the thirst of man and beast, birds of the field. As the water evaporates, it goes on down, and then it evaporates, and it goes in the clouds, and it falls back down again. He waters the hills and the fields from his upper chambers. The water makes the grass and crops grow. It feeds the animals, and the animals in turn feed us. And it all just kind of happened. Just kind of a coincidence. It hasn't come yet. It's coming soon. You don't want to miss it. The heavens will roll back like a scroll. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which he planted, where the birds make their nest. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. The trees grow, give a home to the birds. The hills are for the goats and the cliffs for the badgers. And all that the Lord has created is created for the benefit of something else. It all works together according to his plan. It's all by design. And to have a design, you've just got to have a designer. It just doesn't happen. God created all these things by design that we've been looking at here on the third day. Jump over to Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so, and the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Back to Psalm 104. Are you dizzy yet, Ed? You okay? Okay. Verse 19. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You make darkness, and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. Look, look, the Lord has given the sun and the moon for time and seasons. Isn't it just really interesting how, hey, when the sun comes up, you get up? And when the sun goes down, in general, unless you're working one of those hospital jobs, Ellen, it's time to go to bed. As if it was by design. What if the day was 3 months long? Oh, what if the seasons? Well, what if it took a year for a season? It would be horrible. We'd die. Man would have died out a long time ago. But God set the earth in its rotation to give us days, time, seasons that we can survive with. Man, it's just like it was by design. Now, the discussion of the sun and the moon, go to Genesis. It parallels the fourth day of creation in Genesis. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night." Firmament shouldn't be in the Bible. It's a hard word for me to say. Firmament. "And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Back to Psalm 104. God saw that the time that he set, how he set this planet, how he set the seasons. The sun rises in the morning, and it sets in the evening, and it gives us enough time to work. But by the time it sets, man, if you've been up and going all day, you're ready for some rest, aren't you? The psalmist says, verse 24, "O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. This great and wide sea, in which are innumerable teeming things, living things, both small and great. There the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan, which you have made to play there." The Lord created the land and the sea, all the fish and animals in it. We don't exactly know what this Leviathan is, or Leviathan, however you want to pronounce it. You can pronounce it that way. That's right. It's been translated as a dragon. Leviathan, it means twisted. Twisted, that's what the word means. Twisted, it's been translated dragon, sea serpent, or sea monster. Some think it's the whales, they play. Yeah, could be the whales, especially when the ships go out. The whales will breach in front of ships, dolphins will, whales will. Because I watch Whale Wars, so I know. Some think it's the plesiosaurus. Do you know the dinosaur, the plesiosaurus? Some of you do. It's got a long neck and a little head. Okay? That's like Loch Ness. It's a wide body and it's got big flippers. Okay? Do you see it? It looks a lot like I just showed. If we had a spotlight, I'd do plesiosaurus. Some people think it was that. Some people think that Loch Ness is a plesiosaurus. In 1977, a Japanese trawler hauled in a rotting carcass of something having flippers and a long neck like a plesiosaurus. It was very exciting until the scientists got involved. And they said it was a rotting basking shark. They have a big old long snout on them. I don't know. Leviathan. Some places in the Bible, Leviathan looks like a crocodile. In Job 41, the description sure makes him sound like a crocodile. Leviathan is Egypt is spoken of as being Leviathan or Leviathan. Also, Satan is spoke of because he's that twisting serpent. So, hey, I don't exactly know what to tell you. Big monster. Big creature in the sea. Man, there are strange creatures in the sea, right? Have you seen on the Science Channel In Search of the Giant Squid? Mercy. They got that big beak. It'll eat you. It's like the Kraken. Okay, no, that was something else. Captain Jack. Jack Sparrow. Okay. Giant squid. They're gnarly, right? A monster. And scientists are still discovering monsters in the deep. Do you watch those things? I love those, man. They go down and it's black and you can't see, and then the spotlight hits it and it's and big old teeth. And look, just watch Finding Nemo, okay? You'll see what I mean. Anyway, go over to Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. And then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Verse 27, back in the Psalms. You're doing good. "These all wait for you, that you may give them food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created. And you renew the face of the earth." The psalmist reminds us of how everything is provided to us by God. We are dependent upon Him. From His hand we receive. We are what we are. We are who we are. We have what we have because of God. It brings us also here to the sixth day of creation, Genesis 1:24. Then God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind. Cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food, also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he made. And indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. We see here, back in the psalm, in verse 29, it says, you take their breath, they die, and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created. Out of all of creation, man is the only thing that has the Spirit of God within him. In Hebrew, the word for breath, the word for spirit, it's the same word. It's ruach. And it's so awesome. The picture is God taking the dust of the ground and forming man from it. We have the same basic elements as dirt. We saw, I think it was last week, that he knows that we're but dust. He knows our frame. The same elements that are in common dirt are the elements that are in us. And God took the dust. He made man. But then he imparted himself into man. He breathed into us the breath of life, the ruach, God's spirit. He has placed eternity in our hearts, so that we might know him. He breathed into us and he gave us life, and man became a living being. That breath he holds in his hand. Thanks, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. There's another one. Each breath that we have is from him, everything that we have. In verse 31 of 104, he says, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord there. It's hallelujah. In any language in the world, it's always the same. Hallelujah is hallelujah. The accent might be a little different, but it's always hallelujah. In verse 33, he said, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. Let me ask you, what's your meditation? What are you thinking about during the day? Is it on the Lord? Is it on what he's given you? Is it on his goodness? Is it on his creation? Is it thanking him for what he's given to you? For what he's doing in your life, for his presence? Or are you just consumed with all that other stuff? It's easy to get consumed with all that other stuff. Very easy. Man, we got jobs to do. We have things to take care of. But our meditations, our thoughts, man, they should be sweet to him. We should be glad in him. All right. You did good. We got plenty of time tonight. Let's go to Psalm 105. That was a practice, a rehearsal for me for 118 to do these two psalms and to do Genesis chapter 1 at the same time. Psalm 105 is a psalm of praise, and the psalmist, he focuses on the history of Israel and what the Lord has done for them. Now, the beginning of this psalm, the first eight verses, I think it is, are the exact same as that written by David in 1 Chronicles. In 1 Chronicles 16, that's when David brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. You remember that? He wrote a psalm, and the beginning of this psalm is the same as that psalm. And so because of that, people think that David wrote this. Could be. But it could have just been a spike from another psalmist, you know? Said, hey, that's good. I'm gonna use that. He might have heard from Gail Irwin, you know, saying, plagiarize, plagiarize. I don't know. Great psalm here. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders in the judgments of his mouth. Are the words familiar to anyone? The first verse? I'm going to sing because it is a sweet. Look, we sang last night at McAllister's. Yeah, so if we can sing there, we can certainly sing here, right? It's a great song. Oh, give thanks. Oh, give thanks. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Call upon his name. Call.
You don't really know it.
Do I know it, Ben? So. Do you want to lead us, Ben? Oh, give thanks. Oh, give thanks. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. I love it. It's great. Robert? You love it too. All right, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Look, I need to remind you, we are to give thanks. We are to sing. We are to talk of his wondrous works. We're to glory in his holy name. We're to rejoice. We're to seek the Lord in his strength. Give thanks. Do you remember the word? The word for give thanks? The word for give thanks to praise, to worship? Do you remember? Yada. It's yada, dude. Yada. Yada. Yeah. Yada. Yada. That's what you told me. Last time you said yada. Yada, give thanks to the Lord. Yeah, sometimes you remember, but most of the time you forget. Yada. Yeah, we ought to give thanks to the Lord. Everything we have. Everything he's given us. He's given us life. He's forgiven our sins. He's given us eternity. Oh, we ought to give thanks to the Lord. We ought to call upon his name. Now calling upon his name isn't exactly the same as calling upon him. There's a slight difference. We ought to call upon him, but as we call upon him, we call upon his name. His name speaks of his attributes, his character, who he is. He's the great I am. He's the becoming one. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. He's Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. He's Jehovah Makadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. He's Jehovah Tzidkenu. That's a strange name, huh? The Lord our righteousness. He's our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father. He's our rock, our fortress, our hope, our salvation. When we call upon his name, we call upon those attributes of who he is. When I'm sick, I call upon his name as Jehovah Rapha to heal me. When I'm worried and freaked out, I want to call on him as Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. When I'm in need, I call on him as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. But we call upon his name. We call upon him because that's who he is. And he's able, he's totally able to take care of all our needs. So we call upon his name. Now, we ought to make known his deeds among the peoples. The nation Israel was to be a witness to the world. They failed miserably. They end up getting another chance, and they do really well. But it's during the tribulation with 144,000. Jews that become these super witnesses of Jesus. They failed miserably. The nation Israel failed miserably. Jesus told us to go and make disciples of all the nations, didn't he? Aren't we to be the witnesses now? How are we doing? Not good. Whew. Whoa. That's not good. We're to go, well, because they're out witnessing. That's why. We're to go out and make disciples. We're to let other people know what God has done. That he's redeemed us. That he's saved us. That he's provided us forgiveness of sins and eternal life. We're to go and make known his deeds. I was talking to my mom. Crazy person. And she's got all this drama and craziness in her life, and some of you are aware of all that stuff. Well, we were praying that she'd sell her house, and she sold her house, and she actually closed on it and has the money. Now it's just holding on to that money and not seeing it go to other crazy people. But I was talking to her, and I was saying, oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We've been praying for that. God's done all that. I really believe it was the Lord. But when we're talking to people, we need to let them know what God has done. I'm looking at you because when you talk to people about Auburn, is it praise the Lord and hallelujah and you wouldn't believe what the Lord did? Things in your life where the Lord has touched your life. And it's very obvious that it was him working. Are you giving him glory and letting people know what he has done? Verse 2 says to sing to him, sing psalms to him. We do that when we come in. But look, don't wait here till you get here. You can sing in your car. If you have a bike, you can sing on your bike. I know this for a fact. Sometimes I get a little self-conscious as I'm going over the bridge. But I figure, what the heck? They probably can't hear me anyway. If I had my bike tonight, I'd be singing, Oh Give Thanks, that good little Billy Batstone song. We sang at McAllister. You guys sang more at McAllister's than you did with me tonight. You were embarrassed for me. I was counting on you. And we're to talk of his wondrous works. We let people know what he's done. Malachi, Italian prophet, Malachi. In Malachi 3:16, there's a cool verse there. It says, Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. And the Lord listened and heard them. Oh, they're talking about me. Oh. And it says, So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate upon his name. Look, when you are sharing, when you get together with other saints and you're talking about, oh, when the Lord did this and praise the Lord, and you'll never, I think it's the Lord, really? The Lord is remembering those things that you're saying about him. And he's writing it down. In Malachi 3:17, he says this, Yeah, they shall be mine. Who? Those that talk about me, those who boast about me, those who brag on me, those are my kids, they're mine. Hey, as a dad, I like it when I hear my kids say good things about me. I just don't hear it often enough. I wonder if God says that too. Wow, I haven't heard from my son in a while. Yeah, it's like I'm just not even a part of his life anymore. My daughter, she doesn't talk about me. She doesn't. When she was young and me, she used to boast about me and brag about me, but not now. It's interesting to me. Verse 3 says, Glory in his name, in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. The word for glory is hallel. The same word that we get hallel yah from, hallelujah. It means to boast of, to praise, and to shine forth, to reflect God's glory. Like the moon has no light of its own. It only reflects the sun. And we're like the moon. We're light reflectors. We just reflect the glory of God so that he shines forth. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. You know, it's hard for a lot of people in church to rejoice. And I just don't get it. I really don't. Okay. Look. I'm just not expressive like that. You know, I'm not a cheerleader. You might do that, but you're weird. Well, you don't, and you're weird. I'll tell you why. You were going to hell, and now you're going to heaven? If you can't rejoice over that, what are you going to rejoice over? Oh, Saints win in overtime. That is weird. Turn it up, please. Poor Tanya, she's not going to be able to listen to it in the car again. Bless her. Look, we need to rejoice in the Lord. We're going to heaven. Okay. No weeping and wailing and weeping and wailing. That's something to be depressed about. That's not in your future. It was. Man. Rejoice in the Lord. Seek the Lord. And his strength. Seek his face evermore. There is never a time that we should stop seeking the Lord. Continually seeking his strength, seeking his face. I mean there's always periods of times that we get a little complacent, right? We stop seeking the Lord, we stop praising him, we stop reading, we stop praying like we ought to. Do you notice what happens when you do that? It isn't too long till I am really seeking him, because my life is falling apart once again. Oh Lord, I need to be in your word, praying, seeking you. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Rejoicing here. And we're to remember. We're to remember because we forget. We're to be reminded what the Lord has done. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. One of the greatest encouragements that we can have is just going back and remembering what the Lord has done. What he's done in our lives. We go and we count our blessings. And we go, okay, I want to remember this miserable time. Seriously. Because if you look back at those miserable times that the Lord took you through, well, he'll take you through this miserable time that you might be in. He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to leave you. Oh, give thanks. Oh, give thanks. I don't know that song. We remember what the Lord has done because it's encouragement for the future. Verse 6, the psalmist, he starts looking at the history of the nation here. He says, O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen one, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac. And he confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance, when they were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it. The psalmist looks at the covenant, the promise that God made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. To Abraham, he said, I will give you the land from the river of Egypt to the great river. That's from Egypt to the Euphrates. I'm going to give you that land. He renewed that covenant with Jacob. He told Abraham, I'll make you a great nation. He said, go out, count the stars if you're able to. Oh, there wasn't any smog and haze and all that stuff. And I'll make you a great multitude, greater than the stars of the heaven or the sand on the seashore. He promised him the land. And he confirmed that with Isaac and Jacob. He says, the psalmist says, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were strangers in the land. They were pilgrims. They were sojourners. They traveled from place to place in tents, temporary dwelling places. Abraham, he came from Ur of the Chaldees and came into the land of Canaan. In the midst of a drought, he went down to Egypt. And Pharaoh saw Sarai, his wife. He liked her. Took her as one of his concubines. Because Abraham said, Abram then, his name was, he said, she's my sister. In Pharaoh's house, man, they were sick and they were ill, and they figured out it was because of Sarai. All of a sudden we're sick. What's changed? Well, we got this woman in here with us. And he rebuked Abram and said, Why did you do that? And Abram went back up to the land of Canaan. And then there was another drought, and so he went down to the land of the Philistines, to Gerar. The king of the Philistines, a title was Abimelech. And Abram told Abimelech the old, she's my sister story again. And Abimelech had a dream, and God told Abimelech, you're a dead man. Why? Well, because you have another man's wife. Yeah, but he told me she's my sister. Nah, he's one of mine. He's a prophet of mine. Don't you harm him. And so Abimelech sent him off and gave him stuff. And it's interesting to me that Isaac tried to pull the old she's my sister thing with another king named Abimelech at the same place. But the king saw him making out with Rebecca and went, that's not your sister, you liar. But God protected them, even when they were boneheads, you know? Kind of sounds like our story, doesn't it? God protected us even when we were boneheads. And they wandered around there in tents. And now the psalmist, he takes us to the time of Jacob when there was another famine in the land. He sent a man before them, Joseph. Did I say Jacob? Who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. Boy, did it. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions to bind his princes at his pleasures and teach his elders wisdom. You remember the story of Joseph? His brothers hated him, had the really groovy coat of many colors. They didn't. Daddy's favorite, da-da-da-da-da. Here comes that dreamer. Let's throw him in the hole. Let's kill him. Remember? His brothers wanted to kill him, but they sold him to the Ishmaelites. Ishmaelites took him down to Egypt, sold as a slave to Potiphar. In Potiphar's house, God's favor is upon him. Everything he touches just it multiplies. Potiphar sees it. This Joe, you're my man. Well, Potiphar's wife said, Joe, you're my man. Remember? Tried to grab a hold of him. Lie with me. Grabbed a hold of him and he fled, and she was left holding not the bag but his robe, and she's yelling, rape, rape, please. That was bad. Edit that, please. She was a sick woman. Potiphar came home, threw Joe in prison. You remember? He's in prison. He's interpreting the dreams of the butcher and the baker. Told them what their dreams meant. Pharaoh has a dream about cows, healthy cows getting eaten by sickly cows. Can't interpret his dream. The butler tells Pharaoh, "Hey, I remember this guy." They take Joe out of prison, bring him before Pharaoh. Joe tells Pharaoh his dream. He's made prime minister over Egypt. Is that how the story goes? Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. I went. See, that's how I know, because I went to the men's Bible study. If you go to Bible studies, it's amazing. You learn things. So there's a famine in the land of Canaan. Jacob sends his sons down to Egypt. They go in front of this Egyptian and they're asking for grain, and it's Joseph. And they don't know. Joseph gives them grain, big drama, some scenes, cut to the chase. Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. Says, go get dad and come down here. They came down into Egypt. Okay? And they were just a few people. 70 that came on down. There were already three there. Okay? Israel also came into Egypt. And Jacob dwelt in the land of Ham. Hey, Ham, Shem, Japheth, that's where Ham went. Okay, was down into Egypt. He increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal craftily with the servant. In Egypt, the Jews, they prospered, they multiplied. They became very strong. They were down there for about 400 years. And there was a Pharaoh who didn't know who this Joseph was. Didn't care. All he knew is we have these people in our land, they're getting strong, we better make them our slaves, lest they turn on us. So the children of Israel, they cried out to the Lord, help us. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they did not rebel against his word. He turned their waters into blood and killed their fish. Their land abounded with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and lice in all their territory. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He struck their vines also and their fig trees and splintered their trees of their territory. He spoke, and locusts came, young locusts without number, and ate up all the vegetation in their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. He also destroyed all the firstborn in their land, the first of all their strength. God performed those signs and wonders, the plagues upon Egypt. The plagues on Egypt, they were very specific, and they were plagues against gods that Egypt worshipped. God brought darkness upon the land. They worshipped Ra, the sun. He killed their cattle. They worshipped cattle. He turned the Nile to blood. They worshipped blood. They worshipped frogs, this little god called Heket. They worshipped lice. Why? It would be like somebody in South Mississippi worshipping a gnat. You know? No see him, yeah. It was a battle of God showing his power against their gods that were useless. The last plague, the firstborn of Egypt, Pharaoh, son of Ra, sun god. His son is a son of God. Pharaoh couldn't save his own son. It was very interesting, see, because Israel, God calls Israel his firstborn. You want to hold on to my firstborn? I'm going to take your firstborn, is what God was doing. But he made a way for Israel to escape his judgment. And that was by the blood of the lamb, that they took the Passover lamb and they killed it. They took the blood and they put the blood on their doorpost on the side and on the lintel up on top. And when the angel of death came into Egypt and saw the blood, the angel of death passed over and they were saved. But the firstborn of all of Egypt died. After the last plague, the Egyptians begged the children of Israel to leave and even paid them to go. He also brought them out with silver and gold. They paid him. Get out of here. They paid him for their years of slavery without even knowing what they were doing. And there was none feeble among his tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them had fallen upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quail. That wasn't a good day, by the way. And satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. It ran in the dry places like a river. The Lord provided for them. In the wilderness, he gave a cloud to cover them as they walked. There was the pillar of fire in the camp at night to give them light at night. He provided them with angels' food every morning, manna from heaven. And he gave them water from the rock, and we're told the rock that followed them was Christ. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham, his servant. He brought out his people with joy, his chosen ones with gladness. He gave them the lands of the Gentiles, and they inherited the labor of the nations, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He brought out his people with joy, his chosen ones with gladness. God is faithful. He had told him, your people, they're going to go down to Egypt for 400 years. And then I'll bring them out. He brought them out. He did everything that he said he would do. He gave them the land of Canaan. They went into the land. They possessed the land. they came out just full of hope and joy with gladness, being in slavery and being set free. Listen, it's the history of Israel, but it's for us that we would understand that God is faithful to fulfill his promises. Every single promise concerning you, concerning me, he's going to fulfill. He is going to take care of. Just like he took care of the children of Israel, he's going to take care of you. But it says here in verse 45 that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. He brought them out that they might serve him. And I think sometimes we miss that, that he brought us out that we might serve him. We can be certain that the Lord is going to be faithful, but we need to be faithful in our obligations too. We need to continue on. We need to continue to give thanks to the Lord, to call upon his name, to make known his deeds among the people. Oh yeah, I want to sing it. To sing to him, to talk of his wondrous works, to glory in his holy name, to rejoice, to seek the Lord in his strength, to seek his face evermore, and to remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Father, we come, we thank you, God. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your promises to us, that you have promised us peace and everlasting life, forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. We pray, Lord, that we would see the fulfillment of all those promises that you have for us. We pray, Lord, that we would see and follow you, believe in you, trust you, never leave you. In your name, Jesus. Amen. All right.